You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to Your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio, where we keep you informed, engaged, and entertained, and we talk each and every week in depth about the latest goings-on with the Montreal Canadiens, even all summer long. That is right. We don't go on vacation for the summer. We don't take an off-season because the Canadiens always have something to discuss, and that's why we are here today, and we're so glad that you're here with us. My name is Amy Johnson, if you're new around these parts. I'm going to be your host for today's show. It's episode 362 of the Canadiens Connection podcast. And of course, every week, I'm pleased to be joined by my co-host. He's our founder and president at Rocket Sports. His name is Rick Stevens. How are you doing today, sir, as we inch closer and closer to the end of August?
It is getting close to the end of August and end of the summer.
Back to school week.
Yeah, we've been here all summer. Yeah. And I love hearing from Habs fans who say, I got a text this morning from a loyal listener that said, I take you guys with me every Sunday morning when I go out for a walk this summer. So nice. Thank you for doing that.
That's great.
Thank you for
Can we add his step count to our step counts for the day?
I don't think it works that way.
Darn. Okay.
The other way you know that it's getting close to the end of this summer is NFL preseason winding down, fantasy drafts coming up this week. If you want to get in on the Rocket Sports Fantasy Football,
we have a couple of spots left.
So send us a text, 5853-ROCKET, and you get in on that. Drafts coming up. And then it's going to be the golf tournament, training camp, and everything just starts to roll.
It's going to be a flurry of activity. And we're going to be here. We've been here. We're glad you've been here as well. Don't forget, interactive podcast. It means that if you've got something to say, we want to hear from you. If you have an answer to a question we put out to you, we want to hear your answer. If you have a question, we want to hear it so that we can answer it. And so a way to do all of that, just let me run it down really quick. If you'd like to text us, you can do so. We have a dedicated text line. That number is 5853-ROCKET. 5853-ROCKET. You can text us there 24/7. Also, you can leave a comment on our YouTube channel. If you've not found our YouTube channel, it's over at InsideTheCanadiens.com. That's the fastest way to get there. Just go to InsideTheCanadiens.com and you will find the YouTube channel. So hit subscribe and drop us a comment there. Or also, if you prefer, you can reach out on social media, X, Facebook, Instagram, find us at Habs Connection, and you can drop a comment, question, reply, whatnot there as well. We have a great show for you today. Today's episode 362 titled Habs Making the Case for a Breakout NHL Season. That's mm-hmm. right. Things are kind of getting exciting, and I think the excitement is a little contagious. And so Before we get to what that big topic is, we're going to open the show, of course, with our first segment, which is the Habs Week in Review. We're going to get you caught up on some roster news, a prospect report where we take a look at what's going on with some of the younger prospects in the Canadiens organization, and bring you some general noteworthy news from around the NHL. Then in the second segment, that's when we hit the big topic of the week. Our second segment this week called Momentum is Building: Why the Canadiens Enter the New Season with So Much Hope. We've been asking questions all summer long. A lot of our podcasts have centered around key questions that the Canadiens need to answer and key factors that need to happen in order for the Canadiens to be successful, and evaluating off-season moves or lack of moves and so on and so forth. Well, now it really feels like there's been this surge of excitement and some real optimism about what's about to happen with the Canadiens this year, both from big-time analysts and writers and journalists around the league, but also from the Canadiens players and coaches and so forth themselves. So we're going to hear some reports and talk about those. We're going to hear from some players and some coaches about things that they're very excited about or very optimistic about, and react to those as well. It's going to be a very fun segment, and I think it's going to get you really hyped up for what's about to happen with the Montreal Canadiens this season.
And this is not necessarily fans getting excited. It's not necessarily, you know, a big hype machine.
No.
These are players. These are coaches. These are analysts, media analysts. So you're gonna be interested to stay with us for the second segment.
And to hear why the experts and the pros themselves have really high outlooks for the Canadiens this season. In our third segment, we've got a special surprise and special guest in store for you on our third segment. In our third segment, it's where we always let you have your say. We read back our best listener and viewer comments from the week prior, and we are going to do that as well. But if you remember from a few episodes ago, we had an edition of the Rocket Sports mailbag. And in the mailbag, where we answer some of the questions that all of you had sent in over the summer, in that mailbag, there were two of you who had written in with specifically questions for Doc Morris, Dr. Stephen Morris, our resident kind of medical consultant. He is a doctor, and he comes on to talk about the types of injuries or recovery processes and so on and so forth, and as it applies to certain players with the Canadiens. And two of you had specific questions in that mailbag for Doc Morris. Well, guess what? He's responded to your questions from his medical standpoint. And so he's going to be joining us in the third segment with a direct response to those of you who had questions for him. And that's he's got some great things to say. So you are going to want to stick around for that as well.
And for the others, just to tease it a bit more, the questions have to do with Lane Hutson and Kirby Dach. So everybody's stay tuned for that.
Yes, you're definitely going to want to stay tuned for that. So without further ado, let's get this ball rolling. We'll start with the memorable moments for the last week for the Canadiens. It's still the summer of love, summer of babies, well, Rick said before the show, again, more weddings, more babies, more dogs.
We have dogs in the show too.
Congratulations, first and foremost, to goaltender Sam Montembeau, who got married to his sweetheart Darianne last weekend.
Congratulations. I think it's the last big wedding, a team wedding of the season. It was the first one for Jaden Struble. He said he had a great time. He hadn't been to one of these big team weddings before. Didn't quite know what to expect, but really enjoyed himself. And we also learned this summer, if you've been with us, that that his teammates think that he would be the Montreal Canadian who would be most likely to win The Bachelor if he went on the show.
So perhaps not a wedding of his own in near future. We'll see. Get ready for some sleepless nights upcoming Jake Evans, because per his Instagram account, he and his wife Emily are expecting their first child.
Jake and Emily were married last year, last summer, and it was Jake who coined the term Summer of Love for the Montreal Canadiens.
That's right.
So congratulations, and we look forward to seeing your new baby.
Absolutely. Now, just as a reminder, when we do get to the actual hockey season, this segment that we just went through where there's highlighting memorable moments for the past week, going to be a little less about the Summer of Love and Babies and more about recapping the games that the Canadians played each week. But in the summer, in the off season, we still like to have a little fun and keep up with what's going on off the ice with the Canadians.
Get you warmed up with some soft news.
That's right. For the roster, not necessarily Canadians roster news, but Olympic roster news. USA Hockey finally announced the 44 players who they invited to their U.S. Men's Olympic Orientation Camp, which is going to be taking place in just a handful of days, August 26th to 27th, at their arena in Plymouth, Michigan. And one, Cole Caulfield, is on the invitee list.
Congratulations to Cole Caulfield. Mean a lot to him for sure. Left off the list, when you look through the list of defensemen, I think there's 15 or 16 defensemen who have listed. You see names like Adam Fox, Luke Hughes, Quinn Hughes, Ryan McDonough, Slavin, Werenski, Vlasic, Jake Sanderson, but not Lane Hutson. Hutson was left off the list. He was not invited to camp.
Oh, boy.
And according to Captain Nick Suzuki, expect this to motivate the young man. Expect this to light a fire under Lane Hutson, who won't be very happy not being invited to the orientation camp. That's not to say that he can't make the team. If he has a fabulous start, he can be a replacement. But the management of USA Hockey has chosen not to invite him to their orientation camp.
So for now, Cole Caulfield will be the sole Habs representative, potentially representing Team USA at the Olympics.
Potentially, and at the reverse is true, of course, as well.
That's right.
There's 44 players, a lot of players here. Not all are going to be making it, so there's no guarantees that Cole Caulfield will be on that Olympic squad.
That's right. Just a reminder, Team Canada will also be having their orientation camp roughly the same time, August 26th to 28th. This week, roughly the same time that U.S. will be holding theirs. Canada will be holding it in Calgary with 42 players on that roster invitation and a couple more Habs on that list that we've talked about before.
Nick Suzuki, Noah Dobson, Sam Montembeau, all invited to the orientation camp. As we've talked about, Montembeau probably has the inside track to be the third goaltender on that team. Noah Dobson, that's going to be a fight for him, as it's going to be tough for Nick Suzuki, given the makeup of the squad there for John Cooper.
Nick Suzuki also in the news this week, making an appearance with the Assista Foundation this week to help raise a record $124,815 at the Heroes Golf Tournament. Took place on Thursday at Golf San Rafael. And I really like this charity. Rick, they support the training of service dogs for folks with mental health needs.
Yeah. It's something that Nick Suzuki and his wife, Caitlin, have been involved with for the past 3 years. This year, as you said, a record sum for the charity. He and his wife not only help raise money, but they adopted a dog last February. Nick and Caitlin adopted Ruby, who is a 2-year-old golden retriever from the foundation, and has been trained to go out into crisis situations. Just a wonderful charity. And Nick, while he was holding court, answering questions about the charity, and you know, it spilled into hockey as well. There was Ruby right beside him.
You wouldn't know, didn't make a peep, yeah, just sat there and, with a big grin on his, on her little face, and just sat there looking happy as clam.
Mm-hmm.
More news about the Canadiens roster, folks, on the Canadiens roster. Juraj Slafkovský, once again, the Slovak Hockey Player of the Year. He wins it in 2025 after having already won this accolade twice before.
2022 and last year in 2024, he won the Slovak Hockey Player of the Year. So this is third time for him. And while we're talking about Olympics, we'll just mention that it was announced some time ago that Slafkovský will be in Italy for the Olympic Winter Games representing Slovakia.
Mm-hmm. One last bit of news. Carey Price getting some honors this week as well. Very cool moment. His parents were also in attendance for this. When a chainsaw-carved wooden statue of Carey Price was unveiled at Caribou Memorial Recreation Complex in British Columbia.
Yeah, this is at Williams Lake, hometown, and his parents were there in front of the larger-than-life Carey Price reaching out to make a glove save, and it's carved using a chainsaw. It's fabulous, and it will sit at that Caribou Memorial Recreation Complex.
That's wonderful. Fantastic. Go look it up if you haven't seen it. It's quite magnificent. All right. We'll take a quick tour down into the Habs Prospect Report.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
Of course, as you know, we highlight a Montreal Canadiens prospect individually each and every week. This week, we have picked Habs prospect goaltender Arseny Radkov. He's playing in the Q this season for the Armada, for Blainville-Boisbriand Armada. If that name sounds familiar, Arseny Radkov, it's because he was just selected by the Canadiens this past summer, just a couple of months ago in the 2025 NHL Draft.
Radkov played in the MHL last season. This will be his first season in the Q. He's that typical size that the Canadiens go for, 6'4", 198, moves really well. And he's got into a couple of games this preseason already for the Armada. On Tuesday, he played the last half of the game against Drummondville, making 12 saves and making six more. The game went to a shootout. He made six more saves in the shootout, led his team to victory. Armada beat Drummondville 6-5. Then on Friday, he started the game and he made 16 saves in the first 30 minutes. And this is the preseason, so goaltenders usually play half of the game, and that's what happened here. So 16 saves in 30 minutes of action against the Huskies. Also mentioned that it looks like it'll be one season for Radkov in the Q, as he's already committed to UMass for the following year in the NCAA.
Wonderful. That'll be a great experience for him there. The ECHL has finally got the last piece of the puzzle set and scheduled for their goal of reaching a league total of 32 teams. This is obviously the mission so that every NHL franchise can have their own ECHL affiliate. There's a familiar owner. The Board of Governors this week approving the expansion application in Augusta, Georgia. Gee, there's another reason, sporting reason, that Augusta, Georgia is pretty well known.
A nice golf tournament.
A little bit of a nice golf course there. So a team in Augusta, Georgia, which will begin play in the 2027-28 season. But who who's the famous owner?
Former NHL, NFL quarterback, Heisman Trophy winner Tim Tebow is the owner of this new franchise. Tebow, it's not the only ECHL team he owns. He also owns the Tahoe Night Monsters, the ECHL affiliate of Vegas. I like that name, the Night Monsters, And so this, in 2 years, the ECHL will have 32 teams at this point that going into this season. It's Columbus and Ottawa that don't have an ECHL affiliate. That'll all be figured out. Of course, the Canadians have a very successful ECHL affiliate in the Trois-Rivières Lions, who won it all last season.
Defending Kelly Cup champions.
Going into this season. Yeah, so we'll keep a close eye on that. Chris G always does, and we'll start having some reports from Trois-Rivières.
And, up until this season, like we'll say last season, there's only been 29 teams in ECHL. It means there's been a few NHL franchises that don't have a dedicated ECHL affiliate, which is, of course, one step down from the AHL. And so there's been this commitment by the league to get to 32. This year, the 2025-26 season will usher in the 30th team. They will be the Greensboro Gargoyles playing in, which is another great name, playing in Greensboro, North Carolina, beautiful area of North Carolina. In 2026-27, next year, the 31st franchise will expand into the league. That will be in an as-yet-to-be-named team playing in New Mexico. And then the Augusta, Georgia team will come in the 2027-28 season, the year after that, as the 32nd team. So we've got consecutive years coming up here where we're going to see new ECHL franchises hit the league in an effort. I have to say, big commendations to the ECHL and their board of governors. They set a mission to do it, and they're getting it done.
Yeah, Commissioner Ryan Krenlund's doing a great job, and it's nice to see hockey going into some bringing the excitement to new markets.
Yeah, absolutely. Just around the NHL in general, the big news, big fat 7-year contract extension for the Chicago Blackhawks this week as they sign forward Frank Nazar through the 2032-33 season at an average of $6.59 million per year.
Why do we care about Frank Nazar? Well, Nazar was selected with the 13th pick overall in the 2022 NHL draft. The Blackhawks received that pick from the Montreal Canadiens in the trade for Kirby Dach.
Mm. We'll let all of you decide how that trade is currently working out. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later.
But we're going to get super positive now.
Yes, we are. We are about to get super positive. In fact, we're going to take a quick break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. Coming up later on the show in our third segment, don't forget, we've got Dr. Stephen Morris joining us with answers to the questions that you asked him specifically in our mailbag a couple of weeks ago. But first, before we get to that, we're going to hit our big topic in the next segment right after this break, titled Momentum is Building: Why the Canadians Enter the New Season with So Much Hope. You are going to want to hear what analysts and players and coaches have had to say this past week. So stick with us. You are listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Rocket Sports Media is currently recruiting talented, motivated, and committed people to join our team. If you're a student wishing to gain experience, a young professional interested in broadening your credentials, an experienced hockey mind looking for a platform to share your expertise, or a passionate fan looking to contribute to our publications by connecting with fellow hockey fans, we want to hear from you. If you are bright, loyal, passionate, and willing to dedicate yourself to a remarkable team, email us at hello@rocketsportsmedia.com with "Join Our Team" in the subject line. We can't wait to hear from you.
And welcome back to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name is Amy Johnson, one of your hosts for the show. If you'd like to follow me over on X for hockey-related content, more during the hockey season. I don't tweet as often during the summer, but you can still get some content there and definitely during the season as well, talking about the Canadians and the Laval Rocket. You can find me over on Twitter at Flyers Rule. And of course, you want to be sure that you are definitely following my co-host, who is our president and founder, Rick Stevens. You will find him behind the helm of our main Rocket Sports Twitter account. That's at Rocket Sports. It's where you will find links to all of our content on all different platforms, whether it's written content from Hockey Hot Stove, whether it's YouTube content from our YouTube channel, podcast content, news about the Canadians and prospects and so forth. You're going to want to follow at Rocket Sports. And don't forget, subscribe to the podcast right now. If you haven't done so already, just take a second to do that. And even if you do prefer to listen to the podcast on a podcast platform, make sure you're subscribed to our YouTube channel as well. Or if you're watching on YouTube right now, just take a moment, tap that subscribe button, hit the notification bell so that you always know when there's a new episode out. And it's really the best way to stay informed each and every week about the Montreal Canadiens all year long. So really, the off season is rapidly coming to a close. We've got next weekend is the final weekend in August, and then it's September, and we know how quickly things will ramp up at that point. And as the off season's winding down, we're starting to hear NHL players from teams all over the league, starting to make kind of dribs and drabs of media appearances here and there. You know, looking forward to training camp. They've got hope and enthusiasm for the upcoming season. Lots of positive messaging, lots of usually canned responses, all the cliches you hear kind of at the beginning of the season. But there is something different in the air this year when it comes to Habs players and their outlook for the upcoming season. They seem to really have some high expectations this year. Really seem intent on reaching or even exceeding their goals this year, seem confident in their ability to do so. They really seem to believe that they can take the next step in building a team that's a contender in this upcoming campaign. And they really want to deliver on that. So, Rick, I think kind of the way you have phrased it to me in when you built the agenda is that, you know, there's a lot of good news and a lot of genuinely positive reporting and outlook and reactions coming from the people who are in the know, the players themselves, the coaches, the big time analysts across the league, that it's not just a bunch of fan hype or general buzz, but that there's some real solid confidence from a lot of different experts going into this season.
Yeah, last season it was, you know, you had to get the marketing part department involved and the focus groups, and they came up with this phrase in the mix that could, you know, everybody can interpret it a different way, and it was very kind of, you know, hard to get a handle on what none of that this year. There's none of that there, at least from the players and coaches and the folks who we've seen it at Brassard, and there's this momentum building. They're very positive. They're very direct. They have high confidence that they can meet their expectations. And so we just thought we'd kind of go through why the Canadians enter the season with so much hope.
So what we're going to do, we're going to walk you through some analyst reports that have come out this week that have evaluated some different aspects of the Canadians, both for this coming season and in the near future after this season, and give you the latest that are coming out from some of the top experts and journalists. And then we're going to also hear directly, we're going to hear some audio clips from some of the players, from some members of the organization's coaching staff, and hear right from them kind of their own excitement, their own expectations, their own reactions to how genuinely positive things seem to be heading into this campaign. So we're going to start first with kind of the analyst side of things. And we're going to start with The Athletic. The Athletic this week put out their 2025 NHL front office confidence rankings. And this is an annual fan survey that they do where they ask fans to tell them how confident they feel in each NHL team's management. And they grade them, Rick, in a number of different categories.
Yeah, the categories: roster building, cap management, drafting and development, trading, free agency, and vision. These are all qualities that that you want in your management team, in your hockey ops staff, in your coaches, in your GM, in your executive VP. And it's important to say this isn't a rating from analysts. This is fan driven. It was a fan survey that The Athletic put out, and then they gathered the responses. They had 13,000 responses from fans who graded their own favorite team. I just want to point out that more than 1,000 of those responses came from Habs fans alone. So when we get to the Habs confidence rating, it's based on that's a significant sample.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. They are not number one overall in this survey. I don't think come as a surprise. It's they've rated the Florida Panthers as the most confident in the front office rankings. They are the only ones who got an A+.
Yeah, and of course, Florida Panthers, back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. They were ranked number one last year, ranked number one again this year. And they're ranked, when you look at the individual categories that I mentioned before, in roster building, they're ranked first amongst all teams. In trading, ranked first. Free agency, first. Vision, first. The only one where they're lagging behind is in drafting and development, and they got a B grade there from their fans, and that all makes sense. The only thing that doesn't make sense is the guy driving this is Bill Zito, and when is he going to get a GM of the Year award?
Jack Adams. we thought that perhaps he was a shoo-in for it this past year, but no, it didn't work out that way. So rounding out the top five there, so the Florida Panthers were number one with an A+. Rounding out the top five, there are two teams who got an A grading and two teams that had an A- rating. Coming in second place, second and third place respectively with an A rating are the Dallas Stars and the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah, and you alluded to the Jim Gregory GM of the Year award there. That has gone to Jim Nill back-to-back-to-back, three consecutive seasons. So fans are pretty happy with what he's doing in Dallas. They get the number two slot. They also had that last year. Number three is the Carolina Hurricanes. They do things a little bit differently there, but successful nonetheless. Mm-hmm. They get an A as well. They were eighth last year, so it's a big jump up for them to third. The Tampa Bay Lightning, Julian Brisebois just keeps keep finding ways. An A- ranking. They take the fourth overall spot. They were third last year. And then it comes to the end of the top five, and that's where you'll find the Montreal Canadiens. They're bumping up from sixth place last year to fifth this year with an A- ranking. As I said, over 1,000 responses from fans. They have an A- for roster building, cap management, drafting and development, trading, and vision. The only thing that they got a lesser rating in, B+, was in free agency. Hmm. Having said that, the change in confidence by Habs fans they are 80% more confident this season. 80% are more confident, responded that they are more confident this season in their management than they were last season.
I think Hugo are doing a good job of winning over the fans, mm-hmm. Ken Hughes and Jeff Gordon. All right, so now we're going to move to the Daily Faceoff, and they have put out their 2025-26 NHL prospect pool rankings. This, of course, is when the Daily Faceoff looks at the prospect pool for each NHL team and ranks which franchises have the best prospect pools, which pipelines of players, young players and future players to come, are the best at this given moment in time. And it is number one coming in first. Best prospect pool ranking, according to the Daily Faceoff, is
the San Jose Sharks. Mm. And you can't argue with that.
No.
Askarov, Dickinson, Michael Mesa, Celebrini and Will Smith are already NHLers. They've graduated, but quite a prospect pool there. In second place, according to the Daily Faceoff, the Montreal Canadiens. In third place, the Chicago Blackhawks. The Daily Faceoff has listed the key prospects for Montreal. They are Ivan Demidov, Jacob Fowler, and David Reinbacher. And we're just going to tie this in a little bit to Pascal Vincent, who was on the iTest podcast this week. And he was asked about the leadership qualities of one goaltender, Jacob Fowler.
This guy could be a captain. No, I'm serious. He could be. I mean, his attitude is phenomenal. He's it's hard to explain this young man. He comes in a room, he doesn't know anyone or barely knows a few guys, and he fits right in. He knows when to speak, he knows when not to. He goes on the ice, he works hard. He's obviously very talented, but he's got some leadership attributes to him that I didn't see very often, especially in the goalie. And
right.
Because it's almost a sport within the sport, being a goalie. And for him to come in the room and just be that mature and fit the way he did fit in the room was quite remarkable. And I was really impressed with him.
Pascal Vincent only had a short time with Jacob Fowler, but was very impressed, obviously, talking about how mature he was, talking about his leadership. And used kind of a, you know, well, he has the kind of leadership qualities that a captain would have. And you heard a little chuckle from Pierre Maguire, but Pascal Vincent went on and said how he can lead a team. No, he can't be captain, but he can have those leadership qualities. Who else was like that? And we're not comparing. We're not making any projections. But Carey Price had those leadership qualities, even though he couldn't be a captain either.
I think this is going to be we're talking about whether or not this could be a breakout year for the Montreal Canadiens. I think this will be a very significant year ahead for Jacob Fowler, his first full season as a pro in Laval, and dimes to dollars, he gets a little NHL taste at some point as well, depending on how the season goes. Pascal Vincent, obviously very high on him. So,
and you mentioned prior to the show the phrase that Vincent used, sport within a sport, goaltending.
Yeah, I liked how he said that.
Yeah.
That goaltending is a sport within a sport. That's a great way to put it, because what they do in the crease is so absolutely different from everything else that happens on the ice. So it's a good thing Pascal Vincent was so adamant back in the spring when everyone thought he was going to get snapped up for an NHL job that he said, it has to be the right thing that comes along. Otherwise, I'm here. And so I think it's a good thing for Jacob Fowler and the rest of the Laval Rocket, the Habs prospects, that Pascal Vincent is still with the organization. All right, sticking with the Daily Faceoff, they've been on this kick lately. Last few weeks, where they're really focused on 2030. They're really focused on 5 years from now. you know, who's what teams are going to have the best players in 2030 and so on and so forth. Well, they were projecting the standings this time. The standings, league standings at the end of the season, and the Stanley Cup winner for 5 years from now in 2030.
Yeah, they projected the top 30 player. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the top 30 players and their projections for 1 through 30. Number one, Connor McDavid. And we looked very carefully, very, very carefully, and nowhere could we find...
Nary a Hab.
A Montreal Canadian. Mm-mm. No Hudson, no Demidov, no Suzuki. Nobody in their top 30, and I think... they might have got a little bit of heat for that. Mm. So this week, they are projecting the standings and the Stanley Cup winner in 2030. As you said, just scanning the list, they think that the Los Angeles Kings are going to be the worst team in the league by that point. Vancouver down in the bottom. What makes Canadian should make Canadians fans happy? They list the Toronto Maple Leafs as the number 28 team in 2030. Boston Bruins as the 26th team. The Oilers jumping up to the Canadian teams at 13. The Ottawa Senators, they have faith in the Ottawa Senators at 8. And the 3-2-1 top three, Minnesota Wild at number 3. Dallas Stars, who we just talked about, and Jim Neal, number 2. And the Montreal Canadiens being the best team in the National Hockey League in 2030 and being the 2030 Stanley Cup champion.
Without having any of the league's top 30 players.
Which is, that's fine. They're all good.
Great. Yeah. Okay. That's great.
No elite players, just very, very good players.
That's right. That's right. Wrapping up the Daily Faceoffs coverage this week, they also ranked the 5 most improved NHL teams heading into this season, which that can be a good marker to look at who has improved the most. I have to say, I absolutely agree with the first response that they've got here. Rick, I know that we talked about this a lot during the draft as we were just even watching things that were happening during the off season with this franchise. First on their list is the Anaheim Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
I got to agree with that.
Yeah, and they're not saying they're necessarily a playoff team. They're not necessarily a contender for any of these. They're the most improved teams, the teams that are probably going to take the biggest jump in the 2025-2026 season, and they're pretty high on the Ducks.
They are. They're also high on the Carolina Hurricanes.
The Utah Mammoth. Mm-hmm. And the Vegas Golden Knights.
That's right. And rounding out the 5 most improved NHL teams heading into 2025-26, they list the Montreal Canadiens.
Absolutely. And the reason for that is, in their minds, the addition of Noah Dobson, the addition of Zach Polduk, and a full season of Ivan Demidov.
Well, if the Daily Faceoff says it's so, let it be so. So some really interesting, rankings, and all of it with pretty positive outcomes for the Montreal Canadiens. One more set of, analysts to hear from this week. The NHL Network released their list of top 20 centers in the NHL. We know centers is a hot topic for the Montreal Canadiens, that big question mark around the second line center position. I don't think it came to anybody's surprise that Connor McDavid topped this list of the NHL Network's top 20 centers in the league. But Nick Suzuki did make the list.
He did make the list. You've got Connor McDavid, then Nathan MacKinnon, Leon Draisaitl, Alexander Barkov, Sidney Crosby, Jack Eichel, Austin Matthews, Braden Point, Mark Scheifele, and then in the number 10 position, Nick Suzuki listed as the 10th best center in the National Hockey League.
That's quite all right. We'll take that. Shifting gears now to what players are saying and how it sounds a little different from the canned and cliched things that we've heard at this time of year in recent seasons and recent summers. First up, we're going to hear from Jaden Struble. Of course, we know he signed a contract extension this summer. According to Struble, Habs head coach Marty St. Louis got on the horn with a bunch of his players this summer, and in their phone conversations, made sure to praise, maybe Marty St. Louis was one of the ones that took part in that athletic NHL front office confidence rankings survey, because apparently he was really tooting the horn of his executive team, praising the offseason work of Kent Hughes and Jeff Gorton. And Struble actually talked about this. He was at a charity fashion show. Patrick Laine roped him, and I think some of the Laval guys got roped into this as well. Mm-hmm. And Struble talked to the media afterwards, and this was one of the topics of conversation when he talked about Marty calling players over the summer. And here's what Jaden Struble said in that interview about, I don't know, the Habs having the best blue line in the NHL.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, even Marty gave his, he was doing his rounds, kind of calling guys at the in the summer, and he was like, "I'd take our 70 versus anyone in the league." And you know, I agree with that. I mean, we have some really good young talent. We have some good young guys. We have some good older veterans, and we have a good mix of skill and hard nose. So it's gonna be fun. I mean, it's gonna be interesting to see how the year goes. But I think I'd take our 7 versus anyone's. So.
So Marty St. Louis and Jaden Struble would take the group of 7 defensemen over any other in the league. And who's in that group of 7? Well, presently, it's Caden Gooley, Lane Hudson, Noah Dobson, Alex Carrier, Mike Matheson, of course, Jaden Struble, and Arber Xhekaj. Those are the 7 that the two of them are talking about. But we're going to look forward to training camp, and an argument will be made, I'm sure. David Reinbacher, Adam Engstrom, can they steal a job at training camp?
Mm. Training camp is going to have some really interesting components to it this year. It's going to be very competitive for a number of different positions and reasons. Another one of those, areas that people will be watching will be Patrick Laine's camp and his season and how he has progressed. Recently the media caught up with him while he was doing some work on the ice. I think he was at a kid's camp recently as well. And he talked about his mindset about being in Montreal and being a Montreal Canadian after spending the off season in Montreal.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be more than happy to obviously play here. You know, it's been an absolute pleasure to be a part of this city and this organization for a year now, and kind of sparked the enjoyment of playing hockey once again, and yeah. I could definitely see myself playing here for longer, and we'll see what happens.
Patrick Laine has rediscovered the joy of playing hockey again. Obviously, in Montreal, he said it a few times. He made a commitment to being in Montreal over the summer. He got married over the summer, and he's seeing that it's a place that he could spend some time in. And would be open to the fact of staying. Whether the Canadians need him, want him, I think will all depend on how Patrick Laine is able to play this season and how he is able to perform on the ice, 5-on-5 in particular. And we've seen him make a commitment to developing a chemistry with Ivan Demidov all summer. The two of them have been spending a lot of time as a pair on the ice, getting to know each other and figuring out how each other likes to play.
So we mentioned in the first segment that Nick Suzuki took part in a charity golf tournament this week, and jovially talked about his golden retriever who sat next to him at his press conference. And as Rick said at the time, he said, of course, there were some hockey questions that came up as well. And Suzuki is not always the strongest interview. He's very understated in what he says typically. But sometimes, even though he says things quietly and maybe not with a ton of energy in his voice. Sometimes he says things that are actually pretty strong statements if you really listen to them. And he said a couple of things in this press availability that certainly I think are going to make people sit up and listen. First off, he commented on the makeup of the roster for this year for the Montreal Canadiens.
Oh, it's exciting. We've been, you know, trading guys away for a long time, and now that we're, you know, adding guys, really good NHL players to the team, it's exciting for everyone. And, you know, talking to Dauber and Bolduc coming in, they're really excited to join the group, and yeah, it's an exciting time for the Canadiens, and I think the players and the fans and all that can see that, and we're just excited to get the season going.
He's excited. He's excited that the Canadiens are going out and adding very good quality NHL players. Mentioned Bolduc, mentioned Dobson. He said that that when he heard about Noah Dobson, he didn't really believe it. And he had to text Dobson to say, is this true? And at the time, it was Nick Suzuki and Cole Caufield. They were in Scotland when they got the news. They were at, speaking of weddings, Joel Edmondson, his wedding in Scotland. And but he sounds very excited about the additions and the makeup of the roster.
He definitely does. He also had some things to say about managing expectations for this coming year.
Yeah, I think our expectations were higher for ourselves last year than the media and the fans had. So I don't think it's any different this year. And, you know, it's, we want to be in the same spot or better. So I think we have the team to do that. And yeah, I'm just looking forward for the opportunity to accomplish our goal again.
Again, he makes the points in an understated way, but he's saying that they had higher expectations than fans and media last season. Same applies this year. Whatever the expectations are, the expectations of the fans, the expectations of the players are much higher than that.
So more and more, as we inch closer to the start of the season, analysts, coaches, executives, pundits, players themselves are all really starting to out loud put more and more and more stock in what the Canadiens are building and the potential that they have this coming season. And it really could be the setup for a breakout season for the Canadiens. This could be the season that maybe creates the tipping point where things start to accelerate after this season. And so that's really our Canadiens Connection question of the week. If this is the first time you're listening to the show, we pose a question to all of you, our fans and listeners and viewers every week, give you something to think about with the Canadiens. And then we ask that you send us your answer to the question, whether it's on text or on the comment section on YouTube or on social media. We take all of the responses we get and we pick the very best ones and read them out loud on next week's show. And so the Canadiens Connection question of the week for all of you this week is, do you believe that this will be the Canadiens' breakout season? And we want to know why you think it will be or why you think it won't be. Do you believe that this will be the Canadiens' breakout season? Why or why not? Don't forget, you can text us at 5853-ROCKET, drop a comment on YouTube, or hit us up on social media at Habs Connection. Can't wait to hear what your responses are, because really, I think everybody's getting very excited. Is the excitement founded? Is it grounded in real possibility, or is it just the hope machine getting out of control again? And so we kind of want to take your temperature, all of you listening, and see what you think about the Canadian season coming up. And then we're going to hear from you, and you don't even have to wait till next week. Coming up, we're going to take a quick break here on the show. We're going to let you have your say. We've got some great responses to last week's Canadiens Connection question of the week. And then don't forget, we have special guest Dr. Stephen Morris joining us on the show in the next segment, because he heard your questions in our recent mailbag episode. questions that you posed directly to him, and he felt compelled to give you an answer. And so we're going to hear from you, but we're also going to hear from Doc Morris in just a few moments in response to questions that you had specifically for him. So don't go anywhere. You are listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio. If you're a business owner looking for the perfect platform to reach a targeted audience of customers, Rocket Sports Media is the solution. Our global hockey community provides unmatched social media reach to an attentive demographic of sports and entertainment fans. We can provide visibility to your company, helping you to engage and leverage this prime group of potential clientele. Drop us an email at hello@rocketsportsmedia.com for further details and information regarding this unique marketing opportunity. And welcome back once again to episode 362 of the Canadians Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Hey, don't forget, if you've been enjoying today's show and you haven't done so already, maybe you've been listening this summer and just haven't subscribed yet, now's a great time to do so because if you have enjoyed the summer's episodes when it's the off season and the news can be kind of slow, well, then you're going to absolutely love what we've got for you once the hockey season and hockey action starts heating up again. So hit subscribe, leave us a review if you're able to. And really, if you've ever thought, how can I help these guys? What can I do? Well, the easiest thing for you to do is share this episode, whether it's in your podcast player or on YouTube. Just hit the share button, share this episode with your social media followers. It's a great way to help us grow, our Canadians Connection community. Don't forget, get in your responses for this week's Canadians Connection question of the week. Do you believe that this will be the Canadians' breakout season? Why or why not? We definitely want to hear from you. I think there's going to be some really diverse responses in terms of that. I think some people will be super optimistic. I think some people are going to be a little cautiously optimistic. We'll see what you all have to say. Our question last week that you all answered, and before we get to that, actually, I should mention, whether you watch the podcast on YouTube or not, maybe you prefer to listen to the podcast on a podcast platform, make sure you are subscribed to the YouTube channel and go check the community posts tab every single day, because we always post something there every day. And a lot of times it's interactive. It's not just promotional stuff. A lot of times we run fan polls about the Canadians. We do kind of fill in the blank things where we want to hear from you. We do quizzes sometimes, and we get some really great responses. Just a sampling of some of the things that we had this week. It said there was a fill in the blank. The Canadians will be a playoff team if, and we had at Cranky Bastard 2197 who said, if they remain healthy, not saying how far they'll get, but it would be huge if Lina and Doc are healthy and aggressive. Go Habs, go. I think that's a great answer. Fill in the blank. The Canadians will be a playoff team if, at Center Heist says, if they find a second line center at some point this season and they really improve numbers on the power play to offset the huge losses they have on the penalty kill with three major producers in that department. Another great comment there as well. We had some polls about, you know, we talked last week about, you know, which question is the most important for the Canadians. You know, is it Demidov having a Calder worthy season? Is it getting special teams together? Is it Doc's health? Great polls and great responses to all of that. So be sure you're checking out the community post tab on YouTube every single day, because we want to hear from you. Our question of the week last week was, does the uncertainty of Kirby Doc's health increase the chances that Kent Hughes will make a trade in September? We had a lot of great responses, Rick, but I think you have one in particular that stood out.
This one comes from our dear friend at Center Ice 7948. He said, I do think Doc's health increase the chances that of the trade that we're waiting for, but it more than likely will be a trade deadline deal or just before the trade deadline, like a month ahead of it. I don't think the Habs will cave to pressure to rush a trade that doesn't fit. Great show. I love both of your spins on things, and I tend to agree with your thoughts on the topics discussed. Keep them coming, Amy and Rocket. Tons of love and respect for both of you.
Well, thank you very much. We're so glad that you are enjoying the show. We appreciate that you... We do have some listeners and viewers who comment quite frequently and always with good remarks. So whether you are a first-time commenter, never have commented, or you frequently comment, we welcome everyone's thoughts. We'd love to hear from all of you. And so just like we love to hear from you, we love to deliver what you ask for. And as we've said a couple of times, we did a, you know, when viewers and listeners send in questions that they have to us, we might not always reply to them right away, but we kind of gather them all together. And then every so often, every other month or so, we do a mailbag episode where we gather the questions that people have sent in to us and do a whole show around them and answer those questions. And so we had a mailbag episode a couple of episodes ago here on the Canadians Connection podcast. And in the course of that mailbag episode, two of the questions that we discussed were actually directed at our resident medical consultant, Dr. Stephen Morris, a great part of our team here at Rocket Sports. And so we did our best to answer during the mailbag episode, but the expert himself, Doc Morris, felt compelled to answer your questions himself. And of course, we certainly appreciate that he did that. And if you missed that episode, it was like four episodes ago. It was episode 358 back at the end of July. If you want to catch up with that, you can go over to CanadiansConnection.fm. That's our full archive of podcast episodes, and just search for episode 358. And so, Rick, there were two people who had written in with questions for Doc Morris. Why don't you remind us what the first of those questions were, and then we'll hear what Dr. Morris has to say in response.
I'm also going to remind folks, is Doc Morris a real doctor? He
yes,
absolutely
he
is. At Doc Morris, MD on X. He's Canadian and went to Brock University, then went to university in Australia. He is a fellow in the registered Australian. I'm not going to get the name right, but he is a medical doctor there in Adelaide, Australia. And he is not the Canadian's doctor. No, he isn't. He hasn't examined any of these players, but his knowledge and his the fact that he follows the Canadians, he's able to give our listeners some insight. So the question in episode 358 came in from Evan in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. And Evan says, "Hey, Doc Morris, how do you explain Hudson's massive growth spurt over the summer? Have you seen the pics?" And of course, there was pictures circulating of Lane Hudson, and looked like, he was at least as big as a Nick Suzuki. Evan, in response to Evan, Doc Morris wanted to reach out directly.
Hello, Amy and Rick, and thank you for having me back on the Canadians Connection podcast. I'm always happy when I can get a chance to jump on here and talk a little bit about sports science or medicine or whatever the topic is. And I just want to say, as a listener and a fan of the podcast, it's been so awesome to be able to tune in every week this summer and hear the engagement that everyone is providing around not only what's happening on, but off the ice with the Habs. And it's been awesome to listen to, and it's really great to hear all sorts of different fan questions and listener questions about the Habs. The purpose of me jumping on today is to actually answer two listener questions from earlier this month. So I wanted to take the opportunity to get back to both Evan from Prince Albert and Matthew from New York. So starting with Evan, his question for me was about Lane Hudson and his the perception of a growth spurt, or him growing more recently and seeming to be taller than some of his teammates that he's been next to in pictures. Evan, I'll actually point you to a post that I made back in July 17th of 2022 on X. about a theory that I had about Lane Hudson when he got drafted. At that time, my prediction was that, you know, a lot of people were saying that Lane Hudson had this bone disease and he was never going to grow, and also, and he had a letter from an endocrinologist and this kind of stuff. And my my theory at the time was that Lane actually, the letter probably said that Lane has something called constitutional growth delay. Constitutional growth delay is basically when the normal hormones from our brain that start our pubertal growth spurt are slightly delayed, hence the term delay. It's a normal thing that can happen to anyone. It often runs in families, though, so you have this something called a familial component to that. And what it really means is that you're going to grow just like everyone else around you, but it might happen later. And my prediction at the time was that, and this is when he was drafted, about 18, I believe, my prediction was between the next 3 and 4 years, he would ultimately hit his final growth height, or something called the mid, between his mid-parental heights. And I sort of provided several charts and diagrams to show where his target height would be roughly, and that he would reach that probably by age 20, 21. And you know, here we have it. We have Lane Hudson at 21, looking like he's a little bit, he's grown a little bit over the summer, and particularly over the last 2 years. Now you combine the end product of constitutional growth delay with NHL level fitness, nutrition, and overall sort of oversight for human optimization, and I think you're getting the final result in what you see in Lane. So I actually wouldn't be surprised if you saw him clock in slightly taller this year than last year. It's not most 20 to 21 year olds that are still growing, but I think in his case you might see that. I think I know how Rick feels about heights anyway in the NHL, but I think you'll probably see an extra inch thrown on there for Lane this year. So you can read the post in depth on X. I have that still on my account, but ultimately, yes, I think what we're seeing is the end result of Lane's slightly constitutionally delayed growth, and now he's reaching his final height, and he'll continue over the next, you know, 4 years, 5 years, to fill out his body size. He might not grow anymore in terms of height, but he will fill out, just like you've seen happen with Cole Caufield. So that's that question for Evan in Prince Albert.
Thanks to Doc Morris for that very detailed explanation.
That's why we love when he comes on.
Absolutely. doesn't have to guess. He can give, he can research the issue and give a very complete answer. He mentioned a couple of times about a tweet that he put out on his X account some time ago with a very, very detailed explanation and charts. We're going to put a link to that, to his tweet, in the show notes for this podcast, if you want to go in depth for that.
Definitely. And this is, you know, as Rick, you know, we always do the disclaimer. No, Dr. Morris does not have access to Canadians players' medical records or medical histories. He's not examined them, but he can take the information that's publicly provided and his own medical knowledge and background just observationally. And he can, as he just did, he can provide very in-depth explanations as to what we might be seeing or what might be happening with a certain player or athlete. I love how he just described all of that. And I love that this was something that was on his radar 3 years ago when Lane Hudson was drafted, that he's able to refer back to. So then Rick, as he alluded to at the beginning of his response there, he wanted to answer Evan from Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, which he absolutely did. And he wanted to answer Matthew from Plattsburgh, New York.
That's right. And Matthew, in his question, and again, this goes back to the Canadians Connection episode 358 on July 26th. Find it, canadiansconnection.fm. Matthew directed this question as well to Doc Morris, and he said, this is a long question, so I'm going to paraphrase it. He said, longtime listener, first time caller, entire Habs fan base has written off Kirby Dach and his potential at filling the 2C role. And then he asks, is Kirby's situation similar to Caufield's return from surgery when we needed to be patient? And he mentioned Doc Morris's episode where he talked about being patient with Cole Caulfield, that Matthew was on board the trade Caulfield train. Then he listened to Doc Morris and changed his mind completely. So he finishes the question by saying, so maybe all we need is a bit of patience with Kirby. And this is the response from Doc Morris.
Now, Matthew in New York would ask a pretty complicated question about Kirby Doc. And actually, Matthew's question around, you know, should we have patience with Kirby Doc is really what a lot of people have been talking about, especially recently, you know, with the news coming out about, you know, Jeff Gordon saying he's on track and now some soft signs saying maybe he's not. And if you listen to the podcast like I do, Rick and Amy have been all over this over the last couple of weeks talk and actually following this story along and sort of saying, look, you know, it sounds like the Canadians might be dropping soft hints about the fact that Kirby might not be ready. The question to your answer is tricky, and here's why. When we look at something like you pointed out, like Cole Caulfield, and saying when is he gonna start to sort of come back from his surgery, oftentimes there's a lot of data to support that single surgery in a single group of people. So like NHL hockey players or NCAA hockey players who have this type of shoulder surgery. So we can actually look at those numbers and project, right? And that's where I could get confidence to say, like, you know, let's give Cole time because I think it's going to come together based on the data that we see. I had a discussion about this as it pertained to Kirby Doc when he had his first knee injury. And at the time I said, look, generally recovery could be up to 12 months, but 6 to 9 months for most athletes for an ACL. There was this really cool study done out of Minnesota Orthopedic Center in 2015, specifically on NHL athletes. And they found that, you know, after the injury, there were in general a drop in average games played. There was in general a drop in total points on average. And only about a quarter of people that were NHL athletes, I should say, that are getting these ACL repairs are maintaining their production. So, you know, like what I try to do is follow, I have my opinion, but I try to follow the data. And at the time, I don't know entirely how optimistic I was about Kirby coming back. And now we're in a situation where he's had a second injury. And so the amount of research where there's, you know, an NHL player who's now had two back-to-back injuries in the same knee and what can we expect is really kind of, there's so many variables that play into it, it's hard to predict. What I would say for you is you asked the question specifically when you got your question posted, which was, should we have patience like we did with Cole Caulfield? And I would say yes, ultimately, to that question. I think that if you injure the knee twice, it's still, you know, you still require rehab of that knee, the anatomy there, the musculature of the knee, and biomechanically sort of making it as strong as it can be and optimized. But just like I would have said for something like Alex Newhook or even Cole Caulfield with his shot and Newhook with his ankle injury, you need to put these optimized mechanics into a game. And that's really where the transition is difficult, whether it's your first injury or your second injury. In addition to that, my opinion, and this is just from me watching and not based on anything else, is that I do think after the first injury, Kirby did change how he played his game. I feel like the year before his ACL injury, he was very strong on pucks. He had a nice wide stance when he was carrying the puck in the zone. He wasn't afraid to go down behind the net and around the net. And he looked very, very, very puck dominant. The year after the surgery, I felt like his game lost a lot of that. I felt he was very much a perimeter player. I felt that he was, don't want to use the term scared of contact, but he looked less comfortable carrying the puck into the dirty areas of the ice, like the corners, the boards, and around the net. And my concern would be that even if his knee technically, you know, structurally is fine, the fact that he plays the game differently will be what we're seeing as fans. And of course, the obvious thing to say too is once you've had something repaired twice, your risk of injury goes up again. If we use the stats that we know from that Minnesota study, well, you might be able to say if you've had one ACL injury, your games played dropped by 20%. Does that mean if you've had two, it could be 30% or 40%? We know that only 25 were able to maintain production after one surgery. Does that mean two surgeries mean only 15%? Time will really tell, and I can't give you a perfect answer, but what I can say is we're sort of in uncharted territory now, so we just have to see how things play out with Kirby. Hopefully you found that answer useful. And obviously, it's always great to hear the questions, and I'm always open to more questions, so please keep them coming. And Evan, hopefully you found the answer about Lane useful, and like I said, you can find my previous post on X about that, and I'll hand it back to the guys. Thanks for having me on, and we'll talk soon.
Brilliant answer.
Always.
Complete.
Very informative.
Detailed, based on research, and just absolutely, we love having Doc Morris on the show. Mm-hmm. And he's in that unique position where he is a fan. He follows the games detailed. He's a medical doctor, and he also has the ability to be very accessible and explain things in terms that we, the non-medical folks, can understand.
Yeah.
And
he does a great job.
And as he said, hopefully that answers the questions. And a good question there, two very good questions, mm-hmm. on Lane Hutson and Kirby Doc. Thanks again. And you heard Doc Morris there inviting anyone
more
else to have questions, and we'll certainly have him back again. Now, I mentioned that he follows the Canadians. He watches the games very closely. He watches with maybe a little bit different eye than we have. But in his that February appearance, and that goes back to Canadians Connection 334. I kind of surprised him at the end, maybe it took him off guard. And I apologized for that, but I knew he could handle it. I asked him to take his stethoscope off and just be a fan, just put his fan hat on. And I asked him about, perhaps holes in the Canadians' lineup as the trade deadline approached. And he actually pointed this out, kind of making fun of himself about his answer. But to me, it was this guy not only has his finger on the pulse medically, but also on the issues that the Canadians are facing. And listen to what he said again. This goes back to prior to the trade deadline, February 8th, 2025. How about we ask you a fan question, and if you can just, where are you in the spectrum? Would you want the Kent Hughes to be a buyer at the trade deadline that's coming up, a seller, some sort of hybrid? What are your expectations for the rest of this Montreal Canadiens season?
Wow. I was very prepared for this podcast, but not for that. wow, this is a really important question. Look, I think that the way that we're going now, we have a lot of pieces coming in next year, okay? And the forwards hopefully will look different next year. My big problem with this team is at two positions. One is center and one is right defense. I don't know about my level of confidence for our right defense to look significantly different next season. And I just think we have too many players who are lefties playing on the right. And I don't think it's conducive to winning at a high level. I think ultimately they probably do need to do, I would call it maybe shuffling, they need to shuffle a left defenseman, some of these extra left defensemen out for someone with a right-handed stick that can play at the similar level, just like, bringing in probably something a little bit more high-end than Alex Carrier, but I don't think they have to go out and get Noah Dobson, which is something that's come up recently in the last 48 hours.
They don't have to go get Noah Dobson.
That's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. And like he said, he pointed fun at himself that he said, well, they don't have to get Noah Dobson. Well
they did.
Yeah, Kent Hughes and Jeff Gordon obviously also saw the same issues at center, because they've mentioned that, and at right shot defense. And you heard Doc Morris say there that I'm uncomfortable, and they need to go out and elevate the quality of their right shot defensemen. And he was absolutely right. I think this was, and I put him on the spot, and he absolutely came through in identifying right shot defense and center. Kent Hughes is trying to do something about the center. He absolutely went out and improved the right shot defense. And now you heard earlier that Marty St. Louis is saying best defense in the National Hockey League. Dr. Stephen Morris, you are a gem and certainly a valued member of the Rocket Sports team, and someone that our listeners want to hear from. And we thank you again for your contributions to the team and to the show.
We absolutely do. It's a real catch 22, because we would love to have him on the show more often, but that usually means that there's a lot of injuries for the Canadians, which we don't want to see.
No.
So we have to find that good balance. And we're always happy when he is on the show, a wealth of knowledge. And after listening to the prognostication on the Noah Dobson front, my question for Doc Morris is, if you have any inklings of lottery numbers that you'd like to send me, I'll gladly take suggestions.
Yeah, we need to ask him more fan questions, because if he's going to predict, the next acquisition, we got to have him in on that too.
Absolutely. All right. Well, boy, it was great. Thank you to Doc Morris for directly answering the fans. Thank you to the fans who sent those questions in. If you have more questions for us or for Dr. Morris, send them in. It's a really fun and different way of getting to understand what's happening with the Montreal Canadiens. Summer is winding down, but that just means, while you might be sad that the warm weather is starting to dissipate just a little bit, it just means that hockey season is one step closer. And we're going to get even closer next week when we're back with the next edition of the Canadians Connection podcast. That'll be on Saturday, August 30th. For those of you who listen on podcast platforms, we'll be back. It'll be out on YouTube the following Monday. And we really hope you enjoyed today's show. We had a great time bringing it to you, and we look forward to seeing you again next week for another episode of the Canadians Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadians Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.